Look at that. I moved a microphone and nothing broke. What a wonderful church family that we are part of. This is just a good reminder this morning that we are part of a wonderful church family. We have two scripture readings this morning. The first comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55, and this is Mary, the soon-to-be mother of Jesus, right after the angel Gabriel has appeared to her. Beginning in verse 46, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever.'" And our second reading comes from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. This is following the crucifixion and death of Jesus. Beginning in verse 1. "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. And he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, 'I have seen the Lord,' and that he had said these things to her." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this season of waiting, of preparation. And we pray, Heavenly Father, as we draw close to the end of this season of waiting, that you would be moving and working in our hearts, and that we are close to the celebration of Christmas. But we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would draw us closer to you. Not just at Christmas time, not just during the Advent season, but day by day. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you. And it's your Son's name we pray. Amen. So many of you know that my Advent sermon series has been inspired in large part by the children's Christmas play that you've just seen. And so each message up to this point has corresponded with one of the Christmas ornaments or the Bible stories that you saw represented in the program. And so today would have been the lion ornament, or this idea of awe, of being awestruck by the mighty power of the lion's roar, and then of the scene of Mary arriving at the tomb. I thought it would be fitting to also include the passage of Mary, the mother of Jesus, right after hearing the news of Jesus' coming birth. These two passages bookend Jesus' life, really right before his life is to begin, and then right after his death, and then his coming resurrection. These passages bear a lot of similarities, but there are also some really contrasting ideas here as well. And that's where I want to begin. I want to begin by comparing and contrasting these two Marys, or these two awestruck moments. So yes, I mean, the obvious is that they're both named Mary. Mary was a relatively common name. They were two of many who became followers of Jesus. They were both lifted up out of humble states, made well known by Jesus, that Jesus moved and worked in both of their lives in miraculous ways. They both had very personal relationships with Jesus. They both followed. They both saw the miraculous. They both had incredible faith. They both mourned, and both were struck with awe. There is, however, some stark contrasts between these two Marys. The mother is known throughout history for her purity, whereas Magdalene is known for her lack thereof. The mother received the promise, and then Magdalene was the first to see the fulfillment of that promise, her risen Savior. So there is much alike in these two Marys. Much awe, much inspiration, much to look at. But it also shows us how these Marys were very different from one another. Let's look just at the first Mary, the mother of Jesus, for just a moment. She's just received this news from the angel Gabriel. Can you imagine? I mean, the biblical description of angels isn't really the type of angels that we see sitting on top of our Christmas trees. They're almost scary looking, powerful. It's almost every time we see angels appearing in Scripture, one of the first things that they immediately say is, do not be afraid, or fear not, because they were scary. Not only that, but Mary has just received some incredible news. Unbelievable news. I always, imagine Mary going home and trying to explain this to her parents, that I swear, nothing happened. It's a miracle. But we see in Mary, she's not your typical teenage girl, that she is immediately on board. That, she says, why me? Why have you chosen me? But her doubt is always in herself. It's never in God. And so I want to ponder just for a moment these two Marys' faith. To grasp it, we have to understand that faith is more than just intellectual belief. Faith is belief plus trust. Belief plus trust. So with Mary, the mother of Jesus, she first believed what Gabriel said. She believed that the virgin birth was possible and that it would happen. She didn't doubt this. Second, she trusted her whole life to God's promise. You know, Mary, being a young, unwed woman, coming out of a poor family, apart from God's moving and working in her life, things would not have gone well for her. She might have been cast out from her family. She might have been without a husband. She might have been very much alone in a society that did not elevate women trying to raise a child on her own. But she trusted in God, that God would be with her, that he would provide, that she would not be alone. And we see God's provision in that. Third, her trust in God led to her passivity, or her submission to God's will in her life. She followed what God told her to do. She submitted, and she said, "May it be to me as you have said." And fourth, all of this led to this energizing activity. She did something. It says that she hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah. And she shared with Elizabeth this good news of what the angel had told her. Mary, the mother of Christ, modeled faith for the church. The faith that realized the birth of Christ in her life and fostered her discipleship. Saving faith is belief plus trust that issues in a proper passivity, or a proper us following after God, leading to a total dependence on Christ and then flaming into and producing a life of service. You know, Mary Magdalene demonstrates these things as well. Belief. That, you know, as soon as Jesus says her name, she recognizes him and believes. All that he had told her up until this point, she believes in an instant. And she trusts that not only has Jesus accomplished all that he said he was going to accomplish, but all that he will accomplish. That she submits, that she is willing to follow after Jesus, to allow him to take control of her life. And then there's this action, where she runs and tells the disciples. So we have these two women. These two women that Jesus chose very intentionally to have these relationships with as his mother and as his friend. Women who may have otherwise been marginalized, who would never have been elevated to a place of status. But Jesus let them know just how much he cared about them, and he moved and intersected in their lives in some of the most amazing ways that lives have ever been intersected with in history. These two Marys. Before Jesus' life on earth began and after it ended, he interacted with these women in such a way that they were inspired with awe. That beyond a shadow of a doubt, they knew that this Jesus who had stepped into their life was God, that he was their Savior, and so they put their belief, their trust, and they were willing to follow after him and to do something with their faith. And so as we move into this Christmas season, do you have the same belief? Do you have the same belief as these two Marys? Do you believe without qualification or reservation that Jesus is God? Do you likewise believe that he died on the cross for your sins and paid for them with his blood? Do you believe he was physically resurrected and ascended to the right hand of God? Do you believe that you are a sinner and that your only hope is Christ? Do you believe? Do you place your trust in him? So if you believe all of those things about Jesus, then you have trusted him alone. You have rested everything on him for your salvation. Saving faith is belief plus trust. Have you placed not only your belief, but your trust in him? True faith issues a profound passivity, a calm reliance, where we stop seeking for God's approval of our plans and start following after the plans that he has already laid out before us. The plans that God has designed for us, our willingness to submit and to step where he is asking us to step. And finally, are you willing to do something? Where will you hurry to? Who can you not wait to tell about what Jesus is already doing in your life and what you know that he will do? Where will you hurry to? You know, God cares deeply about each and every one of you. Just as much as he cared for these women, he cares for you. He desires to step into your life. Whether you have a life of purity, like the mother of Jesus, or whether you have a life that has had questionable reputation, like Mary Magdalene. It doesn't matter who you are or where you've been, what you've done, what your life has looked like. Jesus wants a relationship with you. He wants you to place your belief and your trust in him. He wants you to follow after him. He wants a life of action with you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example that you've set in these two women. Women of great faith, great humility. So many others throughout the pages of Scripture that you use to point us towards you. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would use us to point others towards you. That we would remember that you are the reason why we celebrate Christmas. That we would remember to keep you a priority. Number one, that we would remain in awe of you. Heavenly Father, we pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.